WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Linda Kenyon. Devastating flash flooding in Central Texas has left at least 69 people dead, more than 40 others missing. Governor Greg Abbott says the search is in full swing.
We will remain 100% dedicated, searching for every single one of the children who were at Camp Mystic, as well as anybody else in the entire riverbed. To make sure that they're going to be recovered.
At Notre Dame Catholic Church in Kerrville, Texas, services for those killed and missing in the flooding. Parishioner Jason Roberts says the healing will be long and difficult.
Make it through it day by day. That's what we've got to do. Just trying to bring peace to the people still missing.
The U.S.-born Pope Leo paid special tribute today to the victims of that flash flooding in Central Texas.
I would like to express sincere condolences to all the families who have lost loved ones, in particular their daughters who were at summer camp in the disaster caused by the flooding of the Guadalupe River in Texas in the United States. We pray for them.
The Carolinas are being hit with heavy rains as what was Tropical Storm Chantal has spent a day inland and is now heading out.
The overall trends are slowly downward. The thunderstorms are diminishing in overall aerial size, but the conditions will still continue through this evening until the storm starts to really start to weaken and start to open up into an open wave by tomorrow morning.
Forecaster Gregory Galina. There's a lot to discuss when President Trump and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu meet at the White House tomorrow.
Before boarding the flight, Netanyahu said that Israel has an opportunity to expand the circle of peace beyond what we could have imagined, apparently referring to a potential peace with Saudi Arabia. He said he will discuss a ceasefire deal in Gaza, but will not agree to a deal that allows Hamas to remain in Gaza. Netanyahu also said he will thank President Trump for what he called his strong support during the war with Iran last month.
That's reporter Linda Gradstein. President Trump's pause in trade tariffs will end this week. The head of the National Economic Council says that pause was meant to allow time for negotiations.
On trade, there's going to be quite a bit of news this week. And I think the headline of the news is that there are going to be deals that are finalized. There are a whole number that Jameson Greer has negotiated with foreign governments. And then there are going to be letters that are sent to countries saying, here's how we think it ought to go, because the deals aren't advanced enough.
Kevin Hassett interviewed on CBS. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Barr. If you're spending more time outside this holiday weekend, experts are warning about a new breed of tick and the bizarre allergy it can spread with just one bite. It's known as the Lone Star tick, and the bug is finding its way to Wisconsin from the southeast part of the country. Doctors with Mayo Clinic say they're already starting to see more patients with what's known as alpha-gal syndrome. It's an allergy to red meat after being bit by this type of tick. And these ticks aren't just in the woods.
You go back 30 years ago and you'd think of, a hunter, an avid hiker out in the woods. Now we're starting to see ticks pop up sometimes in backyards in suburban areas and stuff like that. And that's a concern.
PJ Leash is an entomologist at the UW Insect Diagnostic Lab. And though this new tick is spreading, he still considers Lyme disease from a deer tick the bigger concern. Leash also suggests using insect spray, wearing long sleeves and pants, and always checking for ticks after spending time outside. Are you noticing farmers spending more time outside working in the fields? The weather in some parts of the state is challenging and may not mean all the corn crops are knee-high by the 4th of July. The latest crop report shows farmers across Wisconsin had just 3.5 days with workable conditions during the last week. And did you know our state is ranked second for having the most organic farms in the country? Officials with Naturally Wisconsin and the Food Finance Institute are starting a new program to support those efforts and say there's also growing consumer demand for natural, healthy, and sustainable products. The group's already working with more than 800 food-focused entrepreneurs from all across the state. You can find more news anytime at civicmedia.us. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 60 degrees. Sunshine for Monday with a high near 82. Few showers and storms possible Monday night, lows in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now, it's 82.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lyerly, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinere will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinere on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the Civic Media Spotlight. To kick us off, we have the Maggie Dawn Show. Kristen Crowell, Executive Director of Fair Share America, joins the Maggie Dawn Show to sound the alarm. And it's all hands on deck as the big, brutal bill heads back to the House of Representatives. She stresses that only a handful of Republicans need to step up, protect their constituents, and stand up to the president. Crowell says outrage is growing on both sides of the aisle, all across the country. There's no rational justification for this bill, but there is real, people-powered resistance.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, the Senate voted in a tie, so the vice president broke it, and now we've got the big brutal bill to contend with back in the House of Representatives. So our agenda, for those that care about working people in good faith in this country, is to kill the bill and then hold every single Republican in the Senate and the House who voted for it accountable and vote them out in 2026. I've got a great guest to help us understand the ramifications for the middle-class folks everywhere, but especially here in Wisconsin. She's a Wisconsinite herself. Her name is Kristen Crowell. She's the executive director of Fair Share America, and she's been on quite the bus tour. Welcome to the show, Kristen.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we've got the approval of the big brutal bill in the Senate, but it's got to go back to the House. So we still have an opportunity to call up our representatives and say no to, frankly, taxpayer-supported handouts for the billionaire class. What should people be doing and thinking about in this moment?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is not a done deal. We are watching exactly how hard it is for the Republicans to muster enough votes. They had, when it was in the House floor the first time, there was a one vote margin, passed by one vote. Then it went to the Senate, ended in a tie. Vice President had to step in to do his minder's bidding and do the bidding of Donald Trump, so got it over the finish line. And there are members, there are Republican senators, Murkowski in particular, yes, that voted yes, but also said, this is terrible for the American people, and we hope this is not the final bill. So it goes back to the House. So it is all hands on deck to do everything we possibly can to register our opposition and to push as hard as possible, because we only need a handful of Republican House members at this point to just stand with their constituents and grow a spine and stand up to the president and deny him the victory and frankly protect us from another handout to the billionaire class.
The thing that seems so perplexing to me, and that I think is so concerning, is one, the just the sheer scale of what we're looking at. This is the by far the largest budget blows to the middle class in American history, of working people that still are living on a razor's edge, right? Yeah. And that's the conceit here, if you will. Oh, if you work hard, you'll be okay. That's the social contract. And yet so many people are working hard and they're not okay. This will make them worse. And it is unbelievably unpopular nationwide. I think the sort of sane washing of some of this, the way media talks about it, this is not popular. America, every poll, whether you're talking Fox or Quinnipiac or Marquette poll, when the actual details of this are presented to people, it's overwhelmingly unpopular for both Republicans and Democrats. So why in the hell are Republicans lining up to support this when they know it will cause harm? I don't believe the lies that they're peddling to themselves. Is it because they fear Donald Trump and the MAGA movement? Is that what we're looking at?
I think that is the main question that sane, rational people are asking. Like, how much greed will satisfy the billionaire class? I mean, we're talking about the top 0.01% are going to walk out of this deal with $250,000.
But if I have
$100 million, what's a quarter of a million? Like, what does it matter? You cannot spend that much money in a lifetime. So it's perplexing. But I should just underscore, this is the most egregious, horrible, mind-blowing piece of legislation ever, like ever even conceptualized in the history of the country. And there is mass pushback happening on the ground. The polling, what we're seeing on the ground all across the country, and I've been really fortunate to be on a national bus tour, Stop the Billionaire Giveaway. We kicked off 11 days ago in New York, and we're going all the way to California. We were in La Crosse this morning. Yesterday, we were in Racine and Oshkosh. And what we are seeing on the ground is that there is an outrage that is coming from both sides of the aisle. This is not just a bunch of lefty Democrats getting real pissed off at the Republicans. This is something like I've never seen before. We have farmers coming out to tell their story. We have small business owners that are like, this is not about business and the economy. This will blow a massive hole in the economy. This is damaging. Obviously, the big headlines are, 16 to 17 million people will lose their healthcare coverage. Another 4 million people will lose their food assistance. And Maggie, you're exactly right. We are already stretched to the brink. People are living paycheck to paycheck. 60% of the country right now has about $600 in their checking account. And I don't think they have any idea what that's like to have to make choices between what am I going to pay this week? Am I going to pay the electricity bill? Are we going to get enough money for groceries? Can I make my car payment? It's just mind-blowing.
To put that into context just for Wisconsinites, close to 100,000 Wisconsinites will lose their healthcare coverage because of the giveaways to the billionaires and mega corporations. So thank you, Tony Weed. Thank you, Derek Van Orten. Thank you to every single Republican in the congressional delegation from the state of Wisconsin. And oh, I left out you, Ron Johnson, who swore up and down that you wouldn't tolerate these increases to the deficit. And yet you lined up as well. 100,000 will lose healthcare coverage, nearly 100,000 in Wisconsin, nearly 150,000 will lose their emergency food assistance, and we're going to lose about 2,700 jobs. Now, here's the kicker that just blows my mind, Kristen, is that two-thirds of these job losses, people getting sicker and dying sooner and going hungrier, are happening in the GOP congressional districts. Right. They're running for the hills. If this was some signature piece of I'm so proud of legislation, they'd be showing up at the town halls. How do people make it clear that they need their representatives to actually represent their interests as opposed to the billionaire class? What should folks do?
Well, I mean, this morning in La Crosse, there were about 120 of us that went to Congressman Van Orden's office, banging on the door, just saying, can we have a conversation? Can we meet with you? This was before the Senate ultimately passed it, but it was right in those few hours. They won't even open the door. So there's no rational advice to give to voters other than keep turning out, keep letting the records show we don't stand for this. And it's why we're on the bus tour. We are trying to say there are real people behind these spreadsheets. This isn't just a shell game that you can pass, in Washington behind closed doors. We are real people. We exist. And that if you take this final vote and you vote against us, we're drawing a line in the sand. You're either with us or with the billionaire class, and there will be hell to pay if you side against your own constituents and throw us off healthcare and throw us into a catastrophic economic situation. People are really angry, and, you know, underestimate us at your own peril is the message I would say, because they're so out of touch, which is with what is happening in their own districts.
And Kristen, you're, to your point, there's a record being made of this for all time, not just for the end of the week, not just when we're barbecuing a couple of days over the 4th of July, forever, right? And when we go to the polls on November 3rd of 2026, we're going to remember that as well. Let me ask you also about timing on this. So it's back in the House now. Again, your wonderful bus tour, getting people animated about this from Wisconsin across the country. Talk to us about the hours that we've got right now to continue that advocacy. When is the vote coming up, do you think, in the House of Representatives? Difficult to know. I know Mike Johnson's still looking for his votes, right? So we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. What's your best prediction about how much time we have to do this incredibly important advocacy?
I mean, today is Tuesday, right? Still?
Right.
I think they're looking to bring this to a vote before the 4th of July.
That's what the president wants, right? He wants this.
They want to have their victory lap. I think it's going to be much harder than they expect to actually pull this off before the 4th of July. But then again, we woke up this morning, we huddled with our folks who are on the Hill in D.C. all night, and we did not expect them to get the vote pulled off by noon today. So it is anyone's guess. There is a clock. We've seen Speaker Johnson take things to the floor before they have things buttoned up to force, you know, people want to go home. They're a bunch of whiny, entitled people in Congress, and they want to go home. So my hunch is we're going to see something sooner rather than later, but I think it's going to be really hard to cobble together all of the votes, given especially what Republicans, you know, I talked about Murkowski, Senator Tillis also said, this is going to decimate states. This is going to throw hundreds of thousands of people off. So you don't have to listen to me. Right. You don't have to listen to Democrats. Listen to what the own Republicans who are inside those meetings are saying. This is a disaster.
We actually have that sound from Senator Tom Tillis. It's cut six. Let's take a listen.
Mr. President, I come today to explain my vote yesterday for voting against the motion to proceed on this bill. What do I tell 663,000 people in 2 years or 3 years? When President Trump breaks his promise by pushing them off of Medicaid because the funding's not there anymore, guys, when the White House, senators advising the president, are not telling him that the effect of this bill is to break a promise. And you know the last time I saw a promise broken around health care, with respect to my friends on the other side of the aisle? It's when somebody said, if you like your health care, you can keep it. If you like your doctor, you can keep it. We found out that wasn't true. That made me the second Republican Speaker of the House since the Civil War, ladies and gentlemen, because we betrayed the promise to the American people. Now, Republicans are about to make a mistake on health care and betraying a promise. It is inescapable.
That is just the bottom line. The president has lied and lied some more. He is enforcing MAGA discipline. Every single elected official on Capitol Hill that votes against the big brutal bill, they know they'll be primaried. But guess what? That's the job that you signed up for. No one's entitled to hold those seats in perpetuity. You damn well better stand up for your constituents.
That's right. I mean, I think the other interesting thing, like it's fascinating to me to see Musk also tweeting that if you vote for them, he's going to primary them. Right. So like maybe just vote with your constituents and stop listening to your daddy minders with their big checkbooks of which check should I pay attention to? Maybe pay attention to your voters and the people in your communities, and then you have a better chance of continuing to do your job.
Going home, right? Yep. Going home and looking in the mirror and saying, listen, what's right to do here? I represent these constituents. I represent the American people. We need some health care. We need some education, right? We need all these kinds of things to support our economy. $3.3 trillion in a deficit. That can't be a good thing. I'm not the economist that you and Maggie are, but even I know that that's not a good thing.
Folks, big thanks to Kristen Crowell doing the hard work out there on the bus, coast to coast. She's the executive
Executive Director, of Fair Share America. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, Kristen. And we'll see you on the bus tour. Folks, keep it locked for some final thoughts with Jim and I when we return right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks, Kristen.
Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat? Just this one time? Please, please, please?
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Up next, we shift our focus to the John and Gordy Show. John and Gordy chat with Brian Belafonte, author of the hit novel The Sultan of Garbage. Brian describes the importance of keeping our parks clean, especially for the 4th of July. He went into depth about his findings he put into his novel and the reason behind writing a book about the island of garbage.
WMDX 92.7, it's John Peterson, Gordy Young in the morning.
Beautiful sunshine today for this first day of July. Right now, 63 degrees, highs in the low 80s today. This portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. You can wake up and sleep better on a Verlo mattress. A lot has changed since 1958, but some things have remained constant throughout Verlo's history. They're still direct-to-consumer, and they still provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Verlo Mattress, two Madison locations, east side and west side. Go to Verlo.com for more information. All right. Time for us to welcome into the show Brian Belafonte. Good morning, Brian. Good to have you with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, yes.
So you wrote this book called The Sultan of Garbage.
That's right. The garbage island that we have out in the Pacific.
That was some sort of inspiration for the title of this book.
That's right.
So this is a novel, I take it, right?
Well, it's actually a very short novel or novella, but yeah. It's a fiction story.
Now, one of the things, I think your background has a lot to do with the inspiration for this particular novella. So tell us a little bit about your background. Yeah, you're a photographer, and you really make enticing pictures for the public.
Well, actually, it's actually more connected to, I worked in advertising. I started out as a copywriter, and I just had this really kind of amazing trajectory of my career, and I ended up being, got to the point where I was making Super Bowl commercials. So it was kind of the big leagues.
Wow.
And yeah. I had this realization that I was helping to sort of help create and perpetuate a culture of consumption and waste.
Mm-hmm.
And the book kind of serves as a form of, I don't want to say penance, but an examination, really.
Right. And you said in your bio here that you pushed Pepsi, Nissan, Taco Bell, Toyota, and Frito-Lay. Of course, there's a lot of packaging in that, end up in the ocean, in the Pacific, yeah, on a giant island. So this is your way of, you know, telling that story in this novella, correct?
Sort of, yeah. I mean, it's basically the hero of the story is a very limited version of me, I suppose, a guy who makes his living helping he photographs packages and products, mm-hmm, and he comes to realize that, you know, it's driven by his personal life is falling apart. He's got a girlfriend who doesn't appreciate him and friends who want to take advantage of him. Comes into money, and something tells him that as a photographer, it would be cool to go out and photograph this island of garbage. And that's the starting point.
So, Brian, have you actually done that? I mean, did you go out and check out the Great Pacific Garbage Patch? I guess that's what they call it. Did you do some investigation into that or take photos?
I did some investigation, and it is not the way it appears in the book. It's worse. It's not something that you can, but we have this picture in our minds that this island is actually an island where you can like climb onto it like it's land and mm-hmm, see refrigerators and use tires and stuff. And it's really more, it's where the plastic goes to, I don't want to say die because it takes a long time to die, but in the oceans, and this is all of the oceans, the currents, the way they swirl, this stuff sort of congeals. And the worst part of it is, I read a statistic that 70% of the crap that goes into the ocean actually sinks. So we're only seeing, when you see any of it, you're seeing less than a third.
Well, it's like a glacier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So how did that become central to your story? How do you work that in?
Well, in the story, it works as a metaphor for the guy's life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when, you know, the thing that people ask me a lot is about the research that went into the book. And I feel a little bit guilty because the research about the character and the profession and all the stuff that goes into making these images and these messages, that comes from my personal experience. So I didn't have to do much research. I did that stuff. But the stuff about the island of garbage and recycling and waste, mostly I said to myself, what would be the worst case scenario? I wrote it down and then I went back and I looked it up. And a lot of times I wasn't even close.
Wow. Well, you know, we're all experiencing microplastics in our brain now. So,
yeah.
You know, this is a perfect time for us to talk about that island.
You know, you're absolutely right. You know, in the story and in my mind, it's the big pieces that, you know, because they're big.
Yeah.
You know, you think of lions because they're, you know, big and scary, but there are a lot of other creatures that can be dangerous. The microplastics are, I think, a lot more of a problem than the used refrigerator that ends up in the river or whatever. They do get into our brains. They're in our water supplies. And we don't know yet just how bad they are, but we get a sense that they're pretty bad.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have another book. I was just kind of curious about this. You say, Spouse Hunting, Using the Rules of Real Estate to Find the Love of Your Life. And in parentheses, spoiler alert, it works.
What?
Yeah. And yeah. Kudos to you for digging that up. Yeah. Okay, so let's start with, when I started...
Wait, we have 1 minute.
We only have about a minute left, so...
Yeah, the book works. I met somebody.
Okay, just believe it. Pick up the book and do what you're actually advising them to do.
So that one's called Spouse Hunting.
It's a how-to.
Using the Rules of Real Estate. The book that we were talking about, Sultan of Garbage, Brian Belafonte. Thank you for joining us today.
And bringing us to that island in the ocean.
Thank you. And if anybody wants to check me out, I'm at Belafonte.com.
Very good.
B-E-L-E-F-A-N-T.
All right.
Very good. Thank you, Brian. Coming up in our... Yes, coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, a little bit later on, we'll talk to Liz Johnston about keeping your pets safe and calm during the 4th of July weekend. That's coming up later on John and Gordy in the Morning. They slip away.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief. Dozens are dead in central Texas after flash floods slammed the area, with water rescues taking place along the Guadalupe River. Governor Greg Abbott.
In Kerrville and Kerr County, there are 59 confirmed deceased. Separate from there, in the central Texas area, there are confirmed 10 deceased.
Tropical storm Chantel has been downgraded to a depression after making landfall in South Carolina. National Weather Service meteorologist Greg Galina.
The conditions will still continue through this evening until the storm starts to really start to weaken and start to open up into an open wave by tomorrow morning.
Deals are set to be made this week ahead of a tariff freeze running out. National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett on Face the Nation.
There are going to be deals that are finalized, and then there are going to be letters that are sent to countries saying, here's how we think it ought to go, because the deals aren't advanced enough.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers win the series. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers are at home tomorrow night against the Dodgers, and they needed a win today in Miami to take the series against the Marlins 2-1. Brandon Woodruff on the mound in his first start in nearly 2 years was outstanding, allowing just 2 hits, 1 earned run, 8 strikeouts through 6 innings pitched. Then Jackson Chourio at the plate, top of the third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
There's one guy that doesn't really care what kind of stuff a pitcher has on the mound. It is Jackson Chourio right here.
And a drive into left field, that'll get a run in plenty. It is up and it is going to be gone. Jackson Chourio goes deep. His 15th, it's 2-0. Slider that backed up over the inside part of the plate, and Chourio crushed it.
The Brewers went on to win today 3-1. Tomorrow night, it's Freddy Peralta against the Dodgers at American Family Field. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The Devil Wears Prada is coming back, but not every cast member will return. The production started last week on Prada 2. Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci are all back. Adrian Grenier, however, will not be back as Nate Cooper in the sequel. He played Anne Hathaway's love interest and a short order cook in the first film. Grenier's claim to fame is, of course, the show Entourage, but he has not done much since. In other casting news, actor Kenneth Branagh will join the production as Meryl Streep's character, Miranda Priestley's husband. There's a new action comedy that might be worth a look. Heads of State tells the story of the UK Prime Minister, played by Idris Elba, and the United States President, played by John Cena, which seems more realistic than it's ever been. The two characters butt heads but have to team up to overthrow a global plot that threatens freedom. The film is receiving a 66% on Rotten Tomatoes and an 85% audience score and can be streamed on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Mostly clear tonight, lows around 60 degrees. Sunshine for Monday with a high near 82. Few showers and storms possible Monday night, lows in the mid-60s. For Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82. For Wednesday, mostly sunny and highs in the low to mid-80s.
Right now, it's 84.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll review the holiday weekend. Hope yours has been good. Also, Kristen Lyerly, John and Gordy, and Jane Matinere will join us as well.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We come back to the Civic Media Spotlight with the Matinere on Air show. Matinere on Air is joined by Alex Brusen, a volunteer for We Got This, a nonprofit located in the 53206 zip code of Milwaukee. Their mission is to get kids familiar with gardening. We talk about the history of the organization and how kids go about getting employed for the morning. They are paid for their efforts, and it's not just about gardening. They learn about the processes from seed to harvest and get lessons in financial literacy and management.
Good morning and welcome to Matinere on Air. Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, and Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. And thank you to Sue from Franklin, who is the one who emailed us at janesays@civicmedia.us and said, you should talk to these people. So Alex Brusen is here. He is the executive director of We Got This Milwaukee. Alex, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing this morning?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, one of our listeners had reached out to us and said, you should talk to this organization. They're fantastic. So tell us a little bit about We Got This in Milwaukee. And it's a gardening project, essentially, that you do, right?
Yeah, so we're located in the 53206 zip code. 53206 is the poorest zip code in the state of Wisconsin. And our zip code has over 800 vacant lots that the city owns. And it's a ton of land, a tremendous amount of land. And, you know, anytime a piece of property isn't owned by an individual or an organization, I mean, it's taken care of, but it tends to be a liability. Yep. More than an asset.
Sure.
And so, you know, We Got This was started about 15 years ago by a man named Andre Lealis, and we take vacant lots inside the city of Milwaukee, specifically right around our neighborhood, and we transform them into gardens. And we do that by employing young people from the neighborhood on Saturday mornings in the summer. So last Saturday or yesterday, we had about 150 kids come out, and they're slowly building out these garden spaces in the neighborhood.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
That is cool. This must be a first for some of these kids to be this active in gardening, I would imagine.
Gardening and work in general. And, you know, I think as adults, we take for granted, you know, we go to work, we do things, and we provide an income for ourselves and for our family. But kids in my neighborhood, I live around the corner from the We Got This Garden. You know, kids in my neighborhood don't necessarily get that first opportunity. When I was 12, I was mowing my neighbor's lawn, and she gave me $10 after it. And you learn, okay, I do work that has a value, and that I'm paid for that work.
Right.
You know, in our neighborhood, you don't have those opportunities. So yes, for many of the kids, it's their very first work opportunity, which is great. We love that because we get to teach them, here is how you work. There's a difference between work and play. And, you know, work requires effort. And we'll walk you through that process. But we do expect, you know, you to be working when you're at work.
Well, and it's, as you said, though, Alex, it's just the basics of you have to show up on time. You have people who.
I have to tell you about that in a second.
Yeah. But I mean, I knew someone who was a teacher at a high school, and he was in charge of the theater department, and they had a spring play every year. And one year, the kid who was the lead actor in the play just didn't show up. And he said, well, I had something else to do. It's a commitment. Yeah, you have to stay. Yeah. You have to stay with this.
And I'm really glad you brought up showing up on time. So we have a capacity at We Got This. So, you know, throughout the year, we collect donations and, you know, the kids are paid through the donations to the organization. We're a 501c3. And so somewhere in the late winter, early spring, we set our capacity based, you know, how much money we have divided by 12 weeks of the summer program. That's how many kids can show up.
Sure.
So our capacity is somewhere around between 125 and 150. And we have we've established a little bit of notoriety in the neighborhood to the point where kids are showing up earlier and earlier and earlier. The first kid showed up on Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning and we started 8. So just to get a spot. And we reached capacity at 7:40. And unfortunately, we had to turn some kids away because we only got so much money.
Right.
But yeah, it's and we expect, you know, each week progressively throughout the rest of the summer that we'll reach capacity earlier and earlier, which has been what's happened historically.
So it's essentially, though, once you reach your max, that's it. That whoever shows up that day who wants to take part, you're going to take. It's first come, first serve.
Correct.
And are you seeing kids coming through like every week? Like you see the same faces coming through and they're it's like a job to them. It's a once a week job for them. They're doing the thing. And, you know, I got to get up at 5:30. Got to get over to the site and get my spot.
Yeah, we have a lot of regular kids. I would say about of the 150, about 20% were new this past week. So we still get some new kids, you know, word of mouth. But we have a lot of returners. And this year, we've really started to add different layers of leadership into the programming. And so we have dedicated student leaders that help lead little groups. I was a school teacher and an administrator for 15 years. And so we run it like you would run a school. So there's different classes that the kids go into, and that's just the group that they're a part of. But we have like some of that, some of those, what would be like the teacher of the group is a 19-year-old that was in the program the last 3 years. And so we try to keep establishing different layers of leadership so that, you know, kids can kind of grow as we grow and then take on more responsibility.
That's so valuable, Alex. Jeez. Seriously, though, to give some of these kids the opportunity to learn what it takes to manage what it learned. I mean, it's just this hands-on experience that's just got to make such a difference for these kids. If you're just joining us, Alex Brusnan is our guest. We're talking about the We Got This Garden that is in Milwaukee and runs over the summer. And I'm, what do you hear from these kids after the first month? Say that they've been returning for a month. What are you hearing from some of these kids?
Well, you know, when the kids get paid out at the end of the day on Saturday, you know, I'm pretty aware of the fact that I have to, like, ask them these specific questions. You know, what did you learn? And then they'll tell me, okay, I learned, you know, whatever the gardening task was. I learned how to plant potatoes because we planted potatoes yesterday. I would say, you know, 9 out of 10 kids will tell you they had a good time. Because, you know, work, you're supposed to enjoy the work that you do.
Right.
And as an adult, you strive for that, right? You want to be doing these things that you enjoy. And then we talk a ton about what you're proud of. Because most of the kids live in the neighborhood. And they'll walk by the we have a garden that we installed next to a liquor store. So we call it the liquor store garden. And so, you know, some of the kids live next to the liquor store garden and walk by it all the time. And so you'll hear from them like, oh, I was walking by on Thursday and I saw the zinnias coming up because we're growing some flowers over there. And, you know, they'll tell me, OK, well, you know, I was reminded of when I put those boxes together or I filled those boxes or I planted those flowers. And so you can tell, you know, it's doing something in the neighborhood in terms of creating a sense of pride in the community.
And it's something they're going to remember, too. I mean, also, like, just the notion of them walking past the garden and not just say, like, to hear a child say the zinnias are coming in is something that would make me so happy. But also to look at me like, oh, I make sure next week I water it a little bit more or do this thing because I'm noticing.
Right.
Like, they're also understanding the process of how plants and gardening works, that they can troubleshoot something maybe in someone else's garden. Like, oh, I used to work in a gardening place and I can tell you need more water or you need this soil. And that is something you can be proud of, but that's also an employable skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talk about that a lot. You know, the little tasks that you do, All a job is a set of, or a series of little tasks that you do, and you try to do them at a high level. And so you can take, you know, what you learned here, you may not go and be a gardener, but if you work construction, you know, you got to learn how to measure and cut and make sure that it looks right and, you know, have a high attention to detail. And so we talk about all those things. So each at sort of towards the end of the workday, the kids sit in a circle with their group leader and we have a series of questions that they kind of run through, really because we want them to reflect on the experience that they're having. Yes, you get $20 and that's cool and fun. And we have a dedicated group of lunch ladies that come and provide lunch right at the end of it. But we want you to stop and think for a second, you know, what did you do? How did you add value to the community? Because in our community, it's a struggle over here. There's not a lot of things that you can point at and look at and say, I added value to this. This gives kids an opportunity to say that they were able to do that.
I know, and I don't want to say it's only $20. It's $20. And to a kid, $20 is a lot. Is there any talk about hey, what am I going to do with this $20? Am I going to spend five on myself, put 15 away? Or do you have discussions on financial literacy with the pay they get?
Yeah, we do. We talk, and that's you know, two of the 12 weeks we'll talk about some of those financial literacy components, assets versus liabilities, and how to avoid going into debt. Nice. And okay, now you have this $20 and you've come for 10 weeks in a row. Now you have $200. You know, by the end of the summer, do you want $200 in your pocket to maybe buy yourself school clothes for the year, or do you want to spend it at the corner store on Flaming Hots or whatever kids buy?
And is there more leaning towards the Flaming Hots? I'm just curious.
I think, like I said, I worked in schools for a very long time, and part of my time was working at an alternative school. And you get some kids who have a really negative disposition towards school and work, and sometimes just existing in the world.
Yeah.
But when you stop an individual and you have what you hopefully perceive to be a meaningful conversation with them about, and help them think about what it might be like 10 weeks from now, mm-hmm. to have something that's a little bit different than you have today, you'd be surprised. A lot of them will say, yeah, I saved up my 20s and I went, you know, wherever I don't know where they go, but
right.
wherever they go to buy, you know, shoes or pants or clothes. A lot of times it's clothes for school.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. And I give them a lot of credit for that, because there are adults who cannot hang on to money and think about the long-term reward down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a really valuable thing. I just think what you're doing is so important, especially if you are not seeing that in your community or your family history.
Right.
It's just so important. Alex Brusnan is our guest. He is the executive director of We Got This Garden here in Milwaukee.
And I think that there must be some kids who think, you know, I'm just going to go garden and get $20. And then after this, I'm like, oh, no, I've learned a whole host of things. Because that's the thing. Everything you've been talking to us about, Alex, is not just the gardening is a component, but it's a piece of the entire puzzle that they walk away and go, oh, I got lessons in life from this.
Yeah, whether they like it or not. I'm going to make sure that they get them.
I wanted to buy Takis, but man, I bought good shoes for school.
Instead. Oh. Alex, we only have about 2 minutes left. Is there a big banquet at the end of the summer? I mean, with all of this stuff that they've harvested and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, sure. So all the food is given out to the community. So kids take the food when it's harvested. They can take it home with them. Otherwise, it's just given back out to the community.
Awesome.
We do at the end of the season, we have, just our end of the year celebration. And we'll do like a big back to school kind of giveaway. And so we'll source things. I should mention our website, wegotthismke.com. We have an Amazon wish list that will be more focused towards end of the year items. A couple thousand dollars worth of back to school items have been donated in the past, and we anticipate will be donated again just to give out to the kids. And so we do kind of a big celebration.
We're going to include your link in our show notes so people can find out how they if they want to get involved.
Jane, if a listener wanted to follow along, we have a podcast that kind of like is like a weekly recap. It's called the 53206 cast. If a listener wanted to follow along, we give like weekly updates on We Got This.
Fantastic.
Year. I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Alex Brusnan is with We Got This Garden Milwaukee. It's been so interesting, Alex. Thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Hush Your Mouth edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Thomas Jefferson is credited with most of the text of the Declaration of Independence, but the independence part came from a Virginian named Richard Henry Lee on June 7, 1776. The First Continental Congress sent a list of grievances in 1774 to King George III, among them the loss of their rights under English law, the occupation by British forces in peacetime, and the oppressive coercive acts passed by Parliament to shut down colonial unrest. The King and Parliament didn't respond other than to pass more restrictive laws. By mid-May 1776, 8 colonies supported independence, including Virginia, which directed its delegates to support independence at the Second Continental Congress. Virginia delegate Richard Henry Lee on June 7th presented his resolution for independence to the Congress in Philadelphia, which tabled action until July 2nd. In the interim, Thomas Jefferson, with light editing by Benjamin Franklin and John Adams, crafted a statement which would become the Declaration of Independence, which included Richard Henry Lee's independence resolution word for word. Resolved that these united colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved. Read the full Declaration of Independence at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. The website climate.gov is no more. The site that served as a trusted resource for federal research on climate change has been officially shut down a month after its staff was fired by the Trump administration. When it was online, climate.gov received hundreds of thousands of visitors every month. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says climate information will be housed elsewhere on its website. $16 million in state funding could soon be on the way to help farmers improve water quality in rural Wisconsin. The Joint Committee on Finance recently committed the funding for a host of environmentally-minded farm programs after months of work from Clean Wisconsin and its partners. The funding still needs to be passed by the full legislature and signed into law by Governor Evers. Knowledge is power for a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues. Check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down at our new clinic in Hudson. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Hudson. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
To finish out the hour on the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Valley Focus. Jennifer Skolaski, who's the project manager for the Winnebago County Overdose Fatality Review Team, and Maddie Brigger, who's the community health strategist for Winnebago County Public Health, join Lisa and Todd on Valley Focus to talk about Winnebago's significant decrease in overdose deaths from 2023 to 2024. And they also discuss the programs and initiatives that have led to the progress and their plans to continue the work.
We will get back to Mino and the mayor, but first from the WISS studios, it's producer Todd and New Wisco News Bureau Chief, ooh, Lisa Hale.
And you did it right again. I'm getting so proud of you.
Yeah. Gotta be proud of something, that's for sure.
Today, joining us on Valley Focus, we have Michelle Schmidt-Schultz. I got it all in there. And I got it all in there. And she's with the Oshkosh Farmers Market. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here again.
You've had a great kickoff. I mean, so far the season's been very good for the farmer's market.
Yeah, opening day was outrageous.
I heard rumors or something that maybe we had like a...
We had a record number of vendors on opening day. We had 139 vendors, which opening day, it's about 30 more than we usually have. So it was crazy. And attendance was off the charts. It was shoulder to shoulder on the streets. And the best part about opening day was there was absolutely no incidents. kids. That is always good. As we were cleaning up the streets with the police department, the CSOs that were on duty, they're like, we did not get one call for the farmer's market today. And I'm like, that is freaking amazing. Yeah.
I suppose when you grade things, you look at attendance and weather and then incidents.
Yeah, incidents. So it was an absolutely perfect opening market if there was ever going to be one.
I mean,
everybody was great. And vendors were selling out by 10:30, 11 o'clock. So thanks everyone who supported that farmer's market on opening day.
Now, opening day was great, but now we're looking at July, and I know we've got some stuff this weekend and next to talk about. Let's talk about this weekend first,
though. Well, this coming weekend, with it being the 4th of July weekend, we actually have some retired veterans that hang out in our market tent with us, and we have Flag Day for Kids. And so what that means is that the veterans will be in the tents handing out flags for kids at the farmer's market. So it's kind of fun to see 500 flags blowing around the farmer's market.
I will tell you that as a show, Mino and the Mayor, we really support our local veterans. I mean, it's a big part of what we do. We do a feature every week, thanks to Nate Olson from Olson Legal Group, but it's really kind of hits us home in the heart, right? Yes. I mean, and so it's nice to see a community event like the farmers market step up and say it's a way of saying thank you.
Exactly. And you know, the Oshkosh farmers market really prides itself on being a community event. So we really try to embrace everyone as much as we can. We try to give everyone a spotlight at the market.
And I can just imagine seeing all the wee ones running around with those flags. It's going to be a field of red, white, and blue.
It is a field of red, white, and blue. Exactly. And that, lots of smiles. Lots of smiles.
And that's this coming weekend. But I know next weekend at the farmer's market, it's also going to be a big one.
Yeah. So we go from July 4th to...
We go from July 4th to Christmas in July.
Perfect.
So Christmas in July, of course, we will have Santa Claus, and he'll be checking his list. So make sure you're on the nice list that day.
I'm in trouble, Michelle. I'm in trouble. Let me just say that.
But Christmas in July has kind of blossomed into a support for both the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry and the Salvation Army. So with the Oshkosh Area Community Pantry, they actually come down with shopping carts in their big truck, and they put up signs where customers can buy two items from a vendor and take one home and donate one. And so they don't have to go donate it at the pantry. The pantry actually goes around the market and picks up all these items and loads them on their truck to take back to the pantry. Last year, our farmers market goers donated over $1,000 worth of produce.
Wow.
Or 1,000 pounds of produce, I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
That's a lot of fresh vegetables for people that don't typically have access to that type of produce. So,
absolutely.
I really like the idea that the pantry came up with. It's a fabulous one.
You also mentioned before we went on about the fact that the bell ringers will be
there. That's right. And it's what do we all see at Christmas time?
Ding,
them
ding,
red
ding,
kettlebells.
Ding, ding. That's right.
You will see them at the Oshkosh Farmers Market for Christmas in July at the Farmers Market. So you'll find the Salvation Army collecting in their red kettles on the south end of the market.
You know, I was just thinking, we should dress up for Christmas in July, and then it hit me. No, I am not wearing some fur-lined velvet red thing, but I can just imagine, I can just see Santa in shorts at Christmas in July.
Well, he's going to be there, right?
Yeah, Santa's going to be there, and Santa looks just like Santa, but he'll have his red, white, and blue vest on. So.
Gotcha, perfect, because I was kind of worried about Santa.
Yeah.
You know, that red suit could be a little hot in the summertime.
Yeah, he gets a little toasty.
Yeah, just a little bit. Fur-lined, velvet.
But
not
we,
a
give,
good
we give them a nice shady tent and give them lots of water.
That is amazing. So is there...
Wait a minute. No cookies and milk? Come on!
Well, I'm sure there's somebody selling cookies.
Probably.
At the farmer's market. Right.
There'll be plenty of cookies and milk, I'm sure.
With everything that happens at the farmer's market, this is just something that is completely free.
Correct.
To the entire community.
Correct.
You just walk the farmer's market. If you want to buy produce or flowers or baked goods, you can.
You can. And if you just want to graze the market, you can. If you just want to just check out the sights, the people watching is phenomenal down there.
So Lisa and I went the first week, and we did the grazing. So we hit really we hit up various places to eat.
Did you try any of the new vendors?
We haven't yet.
Okay.
We haven't yet.
We have a favorite one that we go to every single time. I mean, anytime his truck is around, you're going to find both Todd and I going, give us food.
But we do want to try the new Indian truck, yeah. right? That's something that is on our list.
The Afghanistan food is
I was
good.
Just going to say, yes. I walked by the Afghan vendor
it's
and I was
delicious.
Like, oh, that smells so good and yeah. I so want it. So, Oshkosh Farmers Market, downtown Oshkosh, from when to when?
8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. every Saturday through October 25th.
This weekend is July 5th. Of course, they're doing the flags and the veterans and all that stuff.
Yep.
Next week,
Christmas in July.
I love it. How about the website again?
www.osfmi.com.
Michelle, we love you.
We love you, too.
We do.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime.
Absolutely.
Promise you'll come back.
I always come back.
At some point, we're going to scare her away. Well, stand
good
by. More Mino and the Mayor on the way next on 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
Mino and the Mayor is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WISS and WGBW weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of Civic Media's programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You are listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. The death toll in Texas Hill Country has just risen to 79. It's after a flash flood slammed the area Friday. Governor Greg Abbott is promising a relentless search.
We continue 24/7 operations to search for anybody who was affected by that deadly storm.
And water rescues are still taking place.
First responders along the Guadalupe River continue in search and rescue mode, hoping to find any signs of life. Kerr County Sheriff Larry Letha.
At present, there's over 400 first responders for more than 20 agencies that are working in Kerr County. We have more than a dozen canine working in and near the river.
More than 100 air, water, and ground vehicles as well. So far, more than 850 rescues. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a declaration making today a day of prayer, and Pope Leo XIV with a message of condolences and prayers as well. Chris Fox for CBS.